Father, as we look into your word now, we pray that you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. We need you. We need you to open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. And we pray that you would do this for the glory of God, not for ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began a series, which I only save for when we need to go, and that's going to be happening soon, but great farewells from the Bible. And last week we looked at Moses' farewell. And Moses' farewell was a blessing upon the children of Israel. And we were reminded last week that God has a storehouse of spiritual blessings. And if you just go to the throne of grace, you can ask God to open wide the doors to that storehouse, and every spiritual blessing belongs to us who are in Christ Jesus as his children. So Moses gave that farewell, and Moses passed the mantle of leadership on to Joshua. And you might remember that Joshua was one of the Egyptian slaves who was with Moses from the time he took them through the Red Sea, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because they didn't trust God to take them into the promised land. Instead of trusting God, they looked at the obstacles. They looked at the military force of the Canaanites, and they became terrified. But Joshua was one of two, Joshua and Caleb, who did believe God. And therefore, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of that generation that left Egypt as slaves who were able to go into the promised land. And Moses passes the mantle of leadership on to Joshua. Joshua was Moses' aide, Moses' assistant. He became a military leader. I believe he fought this famous battle in Jericho where the walls came tumbling down. Amen. But Joshua leads the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses couldn't go because he kind of lost his cool and disobeyed God, and he only got to see the promised land from a distance. But Joshua gets to take the people across the Jordan River and take the promised land, and they conquer. They conquer, and Joshua comes to the end of his life, and Joshua has a farewell speech that he gives too. And this kind of fits with what Pastor Bafour was praying for our theme this year, to be strong and courageous. The book of Joshua begins, imagine following a leader like Moses. I know you can imagine this before. Imagine following a great, superb, talented leader. Amen. How intimidating that must be. After all, Moses took the people across the Red Sea. He gave them bread from heaven, as God used to be. He gave them water from rocks. He made sure, by God's power, that their shoes didn't even wear out as they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. He met with God face to face on Mount Sinai, where God gave him, I love that Mel Brooks movie, The History of the World, the 10 commandments. And he spoke with God face to face. And Joshua, Moses tells him, you're going to take over. Take over from you? I haven't spoken to God face to face. God didn't even give me one commandment. He gave you 10. And Joshua moves from being Moses' assistant. And later on in the book of Joshua, instead of being identified as Moses' assistant, toward the end, he's identified as the servant of the Lord. That's how Moses was identified, as a servant of the Lord. So Joshua gives this farewell speech that you can find in Joshua 23 toward the end of his life and toward the end of his leadership. Again, Joshua had seen his mentor do some wonderful things. Again, he was with Moses when the waters parted and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea miraculously. He was with Moses. He actually went halfway up the mountain with Moses while Moses went all the way and met with God face to face to receive the Ten Commandments at Sinai. He was commissioned by Moses to spy out the promised land with 11 other spies. And as I mentioned, only he and a man named Caleb had the faith to trust God and enter the land of Canaan, the promised land. Because of the lack of faith by the rest of the tribes, Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. And Joshua saw the consequences of disobedience. And as I said, Moses was not going to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua was commissioned to take the lead. Like Moses, God granted Joshua a miraculous crossing. This time not at the Red Sea, but the Jordan River was overflowing. It was a barrier, but God is an expert in removing barriers, isn't he?
Amen.
And Joshua leads the nation of Israel across the Jordan River. His first battle, as I mentioned, was a remarkable success. The children of Israel that were born in the wilderness, they weren't trained soldiers. They never went to West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy. And yet they cross the river and they see this great walled city of Jericho. Their forefathers had been intimidated by that, and that's why they didn't go into the promised land. But Joshua says, we can do this. Well, he says, God can do this. Imagine Joshua coming up with this great plan. Here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to march around the city every day for a week. And guess what? He wants the trumpeters, again, God's favorite instruments. He wants the trumpeters to blow their trumpets as we march around the city. And imagine these young men. You mean we're going to do a parade? With trumpets? And then on the last day, the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. And the trumpets will play, you will shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. Actually, if you read it in the original Hebrew, you might picture the walls just, you know, coming down. The Hebrew basically says the walls fell flat. They basically created the ramps for them to get into the city. And Joshua leads that battle. It's a remarkable success. Oh, they got a little cocky because in the next battle, instead of doing what God said, they tried to do it their own way. And it's the only time in the book of Joshua that casualties are reported. Now, I'm not saying that's the only time casualties happened in the war, but it's the only time it's recorded. And Joshua learns, as he speaks with God face to face finally, that we do things God's way, not our own way. Church, I want to tell you, do things God's way.
Amen.
In 2021,
Amen.
2022, 2023, as long as God gives us breath, do things God's way. When we try and help God out, it usually gets messy. Are any of you reading through the Bible this year like I am? Remember what happened when Sarah tried to help God out. Remember what happened when Rebecca tried to help God out. Even in this morning's reading, remember when Rachel tries to help God out. And if you haven't read through the Bible this year, you can catch up. Let us know if you need that plan. So Joshua led Israel for a long time. And he's approaching the ripe old age of 110. 110. And he gives his farewell speech that's recorded in Joshua 23. I won't read the whole thing to you, but what I want you to remember is this, that Joshua lived through the best of times and the worst of times, to quote Charles Dickens. Joshua lived through the best of times and the worst of times. We need to be fully devoted followers as we reside in God's promised land. Amen? We need to be fully devoted followers as we reside in God's hand. What do we learn from Joshua's speech, farewell speech? Number one, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. In Joshua 23, beginning in verse 3, this is what Joshua says. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I've allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean, in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to stand to withstand you. One of you roots a thousand or routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. I'd like to read that verse again. Can you remember? Last week we said that in Moses' farewell address that he gives us every spiritual blessing. Now we know that we have all of God's promises. Let me read that verse again. If I can find it again. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God that the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Brothers and sisters, the best way to look forward to the future is to remember what God has done in the past. Amen. Remember what God has done. When I reflect back on these past 10 years, I rejoice in what God has done.
Amen.
You know, it's hard to tell with COVID-19, but there are a few of you who were here 10 years ago. And I remember you were wondering if the church could even go on. There were difficulties, division, discord. I came only planning on staying 2 years, more as a consultant to help you see how God would have us do some fixing. I was the fixer. Well, I really wasn't the fixer. I was working for the fixer with the capital F. And some of you who've come since then, you don't realize what this was like. I remember before we, even the facilities were a metaphor of the church. They were falling apart. I would tell people, and I wasn't exaggerating. Some of you who were here back then know this is true. I said, this church was held together with duct tape. I mean, that is true. And then God brought people like Christiana and Pastor Before and others here. And all of a sudden, we decided that this building God gave us, yes, we've been here for now 200 plus years. But the building is a tool, and it doesn't have to be a crystal cathedral. But we started taking care of it. And I noticed this, and Pastor Before, even before he was ordained, even before he became a pastor, he took over renovations of the church and the parsonage, which was another mess. And I noticed almost simultaneously as we started praying, as we started growing, as we took care of the facilities, we also took care of the spiritual house. And as I shared when we were at prayer meeting on Friday night, I didn't even need to pray because the prayers were so powerful. And I was sitting there in my chair in my little office next door saying, what God has done in 10 years, not because of me. Again, as I said last week, Moses is an instrument in God's hand. Joshua, an instrument in God's hand. We're instruments in God's hand. And when I remember what God has done, when I remember people who've come to know the Lord, when I remember the respect of the community, when I remember how we are called upon, whether it's by the town manager or the police chief or other pastors in the community to help out, when I remember, unfortunately not 2020, but filling Stetson Hall with our Christmas program and seeing people hear the gospel, whether it was praying at the Memorial Day celebration at the cemetery, or as I did this year at the Veterans Day celebration at the town hall, knowing that we are the light in this community. When I think of people that we did baptize, yes, 1 year, like I said, just about every month, people who come to know the Lord. When I think of our clock, everybody knows I love the clock tower. That clock, when I came here, hadn't worked in years. And I kept thinking to myself, that clock is another metaphor of the church. Church is meant to keep on ticking, keep on moving ahead. And that bell that rings, well, it's a little bit late, maybe 2 or 3 minutes late, but close enough for me. Like the clock tower, the church needs to sound out, ring out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember being in Harvard Square a couple of years ago, and there's a church across the street from the university. And I noticed that they had a clock tower. And every clock had a different time on it. And it reminded me that if we are not committed to the gospel, if we're confusing people with not a message, that if every face of the clock has a different time, in other words, we don't care what we believe, we're not really a church. And then I thought of our own clock that was stuck at 11:20 for years. 11:20. We were frozen in the past. And how many churches are frozen in the past? When I came here, we didn't have screens. We didn't have technology. We were still in the 1960s. And I remember borrowing a video projector and throwing a screen up here. And then we said, you know, we're going to get... I said, let's at least get into the 20th century while I'm here. And how prepared we were with live stream years ago for this. And how when I was here, we would end the year $36,000, $40,000 in debt. I don't know how we ever did it. And the generosity of God's people, the changing of focus from inward focus to outward focus. Remember what God has done. That there's a joy here. That we might not be the biggest church in the world, but I think we're the most praying, joyful church that's been transformed by the power of God. Remember what God has done. And let me remind you that when I leave, God is not leaving. When I leave, God is not leaving. How can we do it without Moses? Well, God raises up a Joshua. It's not about who stands here. It's about who we remember sits here, as I said last week. And as Joshua promised the children of Israel, remember that all of God's promises have come to fruition. Not one of God's promises have failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Just as God has an unlimited storehouse of blessing, He has an unlimited chest of promises. I love Pastor Pafour when he prays. He often reminds us that everything in Jesus is yes and amen. In other words, none of God's promises ever fail. It's Old Testament and New Testament, Hebrew scriptures and Greek scriptures. Remember what God has done. When God even gave the Ten Commandments, before He gives one commandment, He says, "Remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." We always must remember what God has done. We almost always. He brought us out of dysfunction. Not because of me, but because there were courageous leaders here who said, let's follow what God says to do and stop doing it our way. Let's do it God's way. Let's not be like Sarah giving a handmaiden to fulfill God's promise. Or Rebecca having Isaac trick the Father. God does His things His way. We don't need to trick anybody. We don't need to be deceptive. Remember what God has done. Remember the heat. That sign is that the heaters. Remember a few years ago, the heater died us in the winter? Praise the Lord. Not that it died, but it's working now. Remember what God has done. Because when we remember what God has done in the past, we know we can trust Him in the present. Amen. And when we trust Him in the present and see what God is doing now, we can trust Him in the future. Amen. Remember what God has done. He is faithful, and if He says He will do it, He will do it. You know what Jesus said in the past? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to forsake you. That's me, Pastor Roger. I'm leaving, but I'll be back. Time. But Jesus isn't leaving us or forsaking us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Don't think that things are going to go back to the way they were. Things are going to advance. It will get better and better as we do it God's way. And the most important thing we need to do is remember what God has done. You see, Joshua lived through the best of times and the worst of times. We need to be fully devoted followers as we reside in God's promised land. By the way, when Joshua left, not all of the mission was accomplished. They still had some places to conquer. Don't rest on what's been happening these past 10 years. There's more to conquer. There's more people who need to come to know Jesus. There's marriages that need to be strengthened. There are people without hope who need hope. There are people who are in despair who need to look to Jesus. There are more people that will be baptized. Pastor Buffour, don't put the water in his lunch because your buoyancy is different than my buoyancy. I said that with all love, as my wife is giving me the evil eye. There's more lands to conquer.
Amen.
There's more mission to do. Don't forget that we don't rest. We keep doing what Jesus called us to do. Remember what God has done.
Amen.
Remember what we must do. Remember what we must do. We're partners with God. Paul often tells his audience that we are fellow laborers. Don't let one person or a few people do everything. Remember that all of us in the body of Christ have a function. God has not called you to be a spectator in the stadium. He's called you to be a player on the field. Remember what you must do. Listen to what Joshua told the people to do in his farewell address. Be very strong. Remember, strong and courageous. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with those nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you're to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. So be very careful to the love. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Let me say that again in English. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. What must we do? We need to love God. It's amazing. Joshua is writing before Jesus said that the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then Jesus quoted that from Deuteronomy. Joshua was there when Moses wrote Deuteronomy. And then Jesus quoted Leviticus. How many of you quote Leviticus very often? Wait till we start reading Leviticus in our one-year plan. Won't that be great? It will be. It's God's word, but it's not the easiest book to read. But there's one verse in Leviticus that Jesus did quote. After he said the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God completely, he said, on the flip side, for those of you who remember records, it's hard to do that with an MP3. On the flip side, quoting Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. What must we do? We need to practice the great commandments to love the Lord our God and to love each other. My wife was sharing at our prayer meeting on Thursday night. We had, this church has shown so much love, not only to us, but to my adult children, whom you don't really even know that well. And they saw the love of Jesus Christ even in this past Christmas season. That's what a church really is. It's not about the stained glass windows. It's not about the music. It's not about the preaching. I mean, those are important things, but what is the foundation is our love for God. His love for us, our love for him, our love for each other. And Joshua also says, obey everything that's written in the book of the law of Moses. You see, the only Bible they had in Joshua's day was the law of Moses. What's the law of Moses? The Torah. Our Hebrew friends would say the Torah, which means the law. They didn't even have all the Hebrew scriptures. They just had what? The Torah, or in Greek, the Pentateuch. The first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all they had. And when Joshua gives his farewell address, he says, do everything in the book of the law. That's about... Oh, bear with me. That's this much. That's this much. That's all of God's word they had when Joshua gave his farewell address. Guess what we have? We have all this. Remember what we must do. Yes, love God with all our heart. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Great commission. But we also have the Great Commission. that to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. And then that wonderful promise, I'm with you to the end of the age. What do we have to obey? I can just open up almost anywhere. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians again, do everything without murmuring and complaining. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray without ceasing. God loves a cheerful giver. Encourage one another, love one another, pray for one another. Show hospitality to one another. My goodness, we've got the instruction manual of what God wants us to do. That's why I'm excited for those of you who have joined me in reading the Bible this year. Oh, we'll get through Leviticus. And we might even find something besides love your neighbor as yourself in Leviticus that will help us walk with God. But remember what we must do. It's not just the preacher's job to open this book. It's every single one of your job to listen to God's voice and live a life in conformity to his will. You know what repels people from Christianity? People like us who say we're believers but don't live by the book. It's kind of like this week I was driving around, I won't say what town, Randolph. And I saw, am I being recorded? Hear the bells? Gospel's ringing out. Gospel's ringing out. I saw a policeman driving around with his cell phone. And I thought to myself, isn't that against the law? Now, not that I was going to stop him and make a citizen's arrest. But I thought to myself, that's how so many Christians are. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't obey Jesus. No wonder people don't want to hear the gospel, because hypocritical, inconsistent, pharisaical people who look good on the outside but don't have what's right on the inside. Remember what we must do. We must not just profess faith, we need to possess faith and live by faith. You see, Jesus, Joshua lived through the best of times and the worst of times, and we need to be fully devoted followers as we reside in God's promised land. And one more thing. Remember what we must never do. Remember what we must never do. Listen to what Joshua said in verse 12, Joshua 23. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened, until he's destroyed you from this good land he's given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down before them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Now let me explain something. This text has been misused by some very unbiblical people. Joshua says to the children of Israel, you are not to intermarry. I remember way back when there were some people who professed faith in Jesus Christ who would use this about intermarrying between races, that that's against God's will. My wife married a Jewish person. We've had people in our churches who intermarried across ethnic or racial lines, and that's not what Joshua's talking about. Joshua's talking about intermarrying with those who do not worship the Lord. Because the Bible teaches us that when you're married, it says the two become one. Now, would any of you consider marrying forgive me for this, because this is going to get some of you mad. You'll go, can you leave next week instead of... No, I can't. Would you consider marrying a corpse? Dearly beloved. No, nobody would marry a dead person. Bible says that all of us without Jesus Christ are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, when people get married, they become one physically. They start learning to become one emotionally. But we also need to become one spiritually. And so the principle is not about interracial marriage. The principle is about make sure when you become one with someone that not only will you become one physically and emotionally, you can become one spiritually. Well, I heard Pastor, you know, I'll bring that person up to Jesus. What often happens is they bring you down. So the New Testament teaches us that marriage is a gift from God. And that's why husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And wives will respect their husbands as we respect God. I'm not talking about absolute submission. You know, whereas the Bible teaches that we submit to one another in Jesus Christ. So what must we never do? We must never forsake our God and follow other gods. That's why marriage outside of spiritual faith. Now, I'm talking about Baptists don't have to marry Baptists. My heavens, who better than Baptists than right now? Huh? Talking about believers in Jesus Christ. Because you want to be one in Christ just as you're one in the marriage bed. You want to be one in Christ. We're to be spiritually following Jesus. The children of Israel, by the way, did not obey Joshua's admonition. If you go to the next book after Joshua, and you go to the book of Judges, it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And if you read the book of Judges, when they obeyed God, they prevailed. When they disobeyed God, just as Joshua promised, they received judgment. They went through this cycle of obey God, blessing; disobey God, cursing. It's called the Deuteronomic cycle. Obey God, disobey. We don't want to be those people on that roller coaster. We want to always obey God. We must never compromise. We must never go into idolatry. Now I'm not an idolater. I don't worship gods made of stone or wood. I don't know. I think some people worship gods made of plastic. I think some people worship gods made of plastic. They live outside their means and they put everything in they can and they become slaves. I found that these people often can't afford to be generous in the church because they're slaves to their idol of plastic. And they wonder why God doesn't bless them. Or they're slaves to their own ego. My goodness, haven't we seen enough of that? Even in the news? There's idols. An idol is anything that keeps your primary focus of attention off the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never compromise our faith. We must never, never disobey God. We must never worship anything or anyone other than the Lord God who created us. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua lived through the best of times and the worst of times. We need to be fully devoted followers as we reside in God's promised land. Nancy, and my prayer for all of you will be in the days ahead. Remember what God has done. If you remember how we had a small part in that, that'll make us smile. And remember what we all, no matter whether we're living in Dallas, Texas, or Boston, Massachusetts, remember all of us must be obedient and love each other and love him. And remember what we must never do. Compromise our faith. Allow relationships that drag us down instead of building up. Worshiping idols of self or plastic or career or education. or bank portfolios, or houses, or cars, or even working in the church can be an idol rather than why we're doing it. Amen?
Amen.
As the worship team comes up, let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for Joshua's farewell address that reminds us that even following a superb leader like Moses doesn't stop you. And Lord, we know that you're with First Baptist Randolph. You've been with us for over 200 years now, through the best of times and the worst of times. Father, I pray that 2021 will be part of the best of times.
Amen.
Keep the enemy from getting a foothold in this door.
Amen.
Keep us loving you and loving each other and being obedient servants. Help us to remember that we cannot compromise. We cannot preach error or believe error. We need to be with people who agree that the gospel of Jesus is clear, and we need to go to those who don't believe and share with them the love of Christ, so that instead of being outsiders to your kingdom, they can be insiders. The promised land is not enemies we're conquering here, but people who are captive to the enemy. And we need to share with them the freedom they can have in Jesus. So help First Baptist Randolph to do that. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to